the obedience of faith. As the Almighty God, in His grace and in His mercy, reaches out to condemn men and women, the two most important responses that God requires of man, and that is man in the past, man in the present, man in the future. The two most important responses is faith and obedience. Under the Old Testament system, that was the basis on which God dealt with the Israelite. In fact, beyond the Israelite, the patriarch, men like Adam, Noah, Lot, Abraham, Jacob, the general principle or the basis on which God relates to them was one, faith and obedience. The Almighty God deals with man, and I'm using man generically, referring to both man and woman. The Almighty God deals with us on that same basis. Faith and obedience. But before we progress further in this lesson, it is instructive to note and to learn that while Paul in the book of Romans qualifies faith, let us turn to it. Romans chapter 16 and verse 26. Let us hear it.
But now is made manifest, and by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God.
Watch here now.
Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
Remember, that is the title of the lesson. The obedience of faith. Watch here now. In this passage, Paul is qualifying obedience. He's telling you what kind of obedience. I'll comment more on that. But so while he qualifies obedience in this passage, James qualifies faith. In James chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 20, let us hear it.
Even so, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone.
Start again.
Even so faith. If it hath not works.
If it does not have works.
Is dead.
Is dead.
being alone.
Being alone. That was verse 17.
Yes, brother.
Let us hear verse 20.
But wilt thou know,
O vain man,
that faith without works is dead.
Stop there, and hold it. You notice that men and women who want faith to stand alone, men and women who come telling you, we are saved by faith only. The inspired writer James called them vain people. That means they will make no progress. All the effort they put out in religion, it will bring nothing from God to them. They are vain. Will you know, O vain man, and that is man or woman, that faith without
works
is
dead.
He said something else there.
Was not Abraham our father justified
by works? Wait, let me hear verse 20 again, if that was the verse.
But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Okay, 26 now.
For as the body without the spirit is dead,
so
faith without works is dead also.
Is it verse 17 that he said, being alone?
Yes, brother.
And what he's saying, faith cannot stand alone. But here is it now. I talk about Paul qualifying obedience. When Paul spoke in the book of Romans, chapter 16 and verse 26, he speaks about the obedience of faith. How did he qualify that? He's telling us it is the obedience which grows out of faith. It is the obedience which comes as a result of faith. Wait, it is the obedience which belongs to faith. The wording in Greek is called genitive. Genitive is equal to what we call possessive in English. And genitive is always like when you talk, the Bible talk about the church of Christ. And that is the church which belongs to Christ. In English, we talk about the possessive, but in Greek, it is called genitive. So when he talks about the obedience of faith, it is the obedience which is produced by genuine faith. It is the obedience which comes as a result of true faith. That's the type of obedience that Jesus Christ wants from us. The obedience of faith. That is the lesson today. Then James tells us that faith can never stand alone and produce anything worthwhile for you. Faith must have its companion. It must produce something. We can have belief or faith in many things or persons. The people who build our highways, they have faith. They invest millions of dollars in those roadways. Millions. Did they just go and spend that type of money because they love to spend? No. It's because they see 10, 20, 30 years down the road, they are going to make some money. Whatever billion they have spent on the roadway, they're going to make that back and make more. That's faith. has faith. So many things we do and we don't reflect on it, that we are acting out of faith, out of belief, that what we are doing will bring some form of return that will satisfy us. So I come back to the point, we can have faith or belief in many things or person based on different sources. People have faith in their politician and what the politician says, truly. Men and women have faith in their religious leaders. That's how comes men and women became founders of churches. They come up with some strange things not supported by God's word, and they have followers. It means there are some people who believe not only in the person, but believe in what the person says. For those of us who hope to stand before the Almighty God, before Jesus Christ, as saved men and women, we must make sure that our faith has the proper base and it is in the proper person. For example, the Bible tells us that the faith of which the inspired writer speaks about is the one that comes by the word of God. So suppose I decided that I would go out there and be founder of a church, Curlington Mitchell Church, and you like the name and the sound of that, and you follow me, and I come up with some strange doctrine, I give you some of what the Bible says, and mix it with some of what I imagine, you would not be exercising saving faith. Men and women believe in Mrs. Ellen G. White. She said she got a vision and the Sabbath was restored. But that contradicts the Bible. The fact is, we must make sure that our faith is Bible-based. When the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, the Bible didn't leave everything stopping at hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. And it is as if the inspired writer is saying, make sure it is the word of God you hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So it is telling us that when we exercise faith in the Almighty God, if it's going to be genuine faith, saving faith, true faith, it must have as its basis the word of God. And you and I must make sure of that. You and I must make sure that what we believe is what the word of God teaches. The obedience of faith. No right and saving relationship is possible with God if faith and obedience is not in their proper place and properly based. Let me repeat this. No right relationship with the Almighty God is possible. no saving relationship with God is possible if faith and obedience are not in their proper place and they are properly based. Properly based mean that faith and obedience must have as its base the Word of God. What I find quite interesting is these two responses, faith and obedience in man's relationship with God, that they are dramatically and strategically placed by Paul, both in the beginning of Romans and at the end of Romans. It's like the man is indicating to his reader, say, this subject is so important, so here is it when I start this inspired letter that the Holy Spirit is directing me to send to you, right as I begin, I want to state it. And that is chapter 1 and verse 5. Let us hear it. Read. Romans.
By whom we have received grace and apostleship.
That is, by Jesus Christ we receive grace and apostleship.
For obedience to the faith.
Now, it's the same obedience to the faith. And other translation will translate that the same as we have. It's like Paul is saying, he talks about here the obedience to the faith, or the obedience of faith that is in the beginning of the letter. No, and as he ends the letter, that is chapter 16 and verse 26. Read.
But now is made manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And by the scriptures of the prophets,
mm-hmm.
according to the commandment of the everlasting God,
uh-huh.
made known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
This one, here again, I was about to point out, notice at the beginning of the letter, chapter 1, verse 5, he speaks about the obedience toward the obedience of faith. Then when he ends the letter, he comes up with the same thing. The obedience of our obedience to the faith. And in chapter 16 and verse 26, he's telling us here that the reason the Almighty God wants the gospel to reach all nations, all men, it's for this very purpose. For the obedience, that they may become obedient as a result of believing in him. Place at the beginning and at the end of this great book of Romans, indicating that whatever might be said by Paul on the subject of faith and obedience, whatever might be said by any other writer, and the subject of faith and obedience, it will be understood, especially when he speaks about faith, that the faith that is under consideration is the one that produces obedience. Watch Paul. In chapter 4, verse 5 and 9, he speaks about faith counted for righteousness. You need not ask what kind of faith. It is a faith that produces obedience. In chapter 4, verse 13, he speaks about through the righteousness of faith. That is through the righteousness which faith produces. You need not ask what faith. It is the faith that produces obedience. In chapter 9, verse 30, same book of Romans, he speaks about the righteousness which is of faith again. You need not ask what faith. It is the faith that produces obedience. In chapter 10, same book of Romans, and verse 17, he speaks about faith comes by hearing the word of God. You need not ask what faith. It is the faith that produces obedience. In Galatians, St. Paul writing in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 5, he says, "Or by the hearing of faith." When you read that, don't ask what faith. It is the one that produces obedience. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, he speaks about, "But faith which worketh by love." Which faith, Brother Mitchell? Paul already told us it is the one that produces obedience. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he speaks about nourish up in the words of faith. What faith? The one that produces obedience. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible, the writer, the inspired writer there speaks about it is impossible without faith to please God. Which faith? The one that produces obedience. Then in James chapter 2, verse 17, verse 20, and verse 26, he says, "Faith without works is dead." Which faith? The one that produces obedience. And when Paul placed that, the obedience of faith at the beginning of Romans and at the end of Romans, he wanted his writer to understand what is meant by faith. Any brief statement about faith, he didn't want it to be misunderstood. It's always the faith that produces obedience. May I? Even for us Christians, very important, we must make sure we are not just people who come church so. And by that I mean we come, we listen to a lesson, and we go back to our various places of abode. Within a few minutes or a few hours, we forgot what was said in the lesson. Do you know that this business about the faith that produces works is applicable to Christians? When the Bible says that we must not just be hearers of the word, but we must be doers. It is saying to God's people that we must make sure what we hear, we make sure we practice it. We must make sure that we do not just come and hear a message on anything, but that we carry it out in action. In fact, let us Faith must be productive for the prospective convert as well as for the men and women who claim that they embrace Jesus Christ. Faith must be productive at all times, not only before we became Christian, but even more so after we have become Christian. Faith must be productive. If faith stands alone, producing no obedient action, it is a dead faith. And both for the prospective convert and for the Christian, a dead faith goes nowhere with God. Without exception, run with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and hold it. Without exception. Did you say without exception, Brother Mitchell? Yes, and I'm going to say it one or two more times, because I would like you to challenge me on that. And by challenge me, to go and find somewhere in this passage we are about to read, to see if there was any character who was considered faithful by God, what that faithfulness or her faith means and imply. So I'm saying, or let me complete what I started, that without exception, true faith, genuine faith, saving faith, always produce obedient action. True faith, genuine faith, saving faith, always without exception produce obedient action. For the prospective convert, meaning if you are seated among us today, knowing you are not a child of God, and you claim to believe in Jesus Christ, in God's scheme of things, God says you don't believe unless, after having listened to this message, that belief drives you to want to make Jesus Christ your Savior. That's when, for God, you believe. I intend to turn to Moses as an illustration. Some time ago, just before the COVID, I was on a series of lessons about believing not. They believe not. And that was said of Moses. As great as Moses was, that was why he was hindered from reaching the promised land. He failed to carry out a simple command given by God. It had to do when he should have spoken to the rock, he struck the rock. Are we all here? And when the Almighty God afterward was rebuking him, there was, because you believe me not. Watch here. Moses, yes. When we fail to carry out God's command to us, the Almighty God sees that as lack of faith. That's right. So as I've said, without exception, hold the passage, brother, I haven't forgotten. Without exception, true faith, genuine faith, saving faith, always produce obedient action. Start with me in the book of Hebrews. Now, chapter 11. Watch here now. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. Verse 1, define faith. It's a limited definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then, watch here now. In this passage, faith is discourse. Faith is explained. Faith is illustrated. Pick me up from verse 4.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice.
You notice what I notice? You don't. Start again, brother. By faith, Abel offered unto God. You see, by faith, Abel did something. That's right. You see, faith, then action, always. Now, that is one character. Read on.
A more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
Read on.
By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch.
Here again. By faith. Read.
By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God has...
Here again, it's always... Don't move from the passage. It's always some action come as a result of faith. Read on.
Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Without faith, it is impossible to please him. What kind of faith? The faith that produces obedient action. Read on, brother.
For he that cometh to God
must
believe that he is,
and that God is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. What verse is
Amen.
That?
The end of verse 6.
Read on.
By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear.
Wait. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things that man has never seen. That is not in the passage, Brother Mitchell. When it says, one of God of things not seen as yet, it means no human being has ever seen so much water to lift, or rain falling that the water lift the big ship that Noah did. Read that again.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not...
Wait, notice the things not seen as yet. Yes. I want to make sure you understand that. It means human experience of never seen or experienced something like what Noah was told to warn his generation about. Noah had never seen anything like that. So much water that it's going to lift whatever. Yet Noah believed it. In fact, let me not disturb you again, brother. Read.
By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear.
Wait. I have to disturb you again. You see, what is striking here is that Noah was not preaching of things that involve human experience. That's one of the great things about Noah's faith. He was preaching of things that human beings have never experienced. Nobody on earth has never experienced the type of flood, the type of rain that would come with so much water to lift that ship. Yet Noah believed it because it was from God. You notice what he did? It says, move.
Moved with fear.
With fear. What? I want you to see that saving faith, genuine faith, always produce action. When the Bible talks about the obedience of faith, faith produces always obedient action. Read on.
Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became...
There are a lot here, you know. Did you know that every time you turn out to worship, you are sending a message to the ungodly? Did you know, as an individual Christian, every time somebody see you come in church, or see you even here knowing that you are here to worship, you are speaking to the person by your action? That's right. Noah, by his action, condemned the world.
Amen.
By his belief, watch it, that's, you know, for how long that man building this big boat and telling people what it is for, it's for their salvation, they laugh at that man. And I wonder how he didn't become so discouraged and give up by the scorn and the laugh and the mockery. The man didn't give up. He didn't become discouraged because of his faith in what God said. But it was a difficult task. And the Bible says that he condemned the world. He showed up the world for their lack of faith. What verse is that?
Verse 7.
Read on.
And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
The righteousness which is by faith. Read on.
By faith Abraham.
By faith Abraham.
When he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance. Obeyed, and he went out.
Watch here again. The inspired writer, while they didn't have a lot of space to tell us all, they give us a little more. When the Almighty God called Abram, Abram was called from an idolatrous home environment. His father was an idol worshiper. And Abram grew up in that house where nobody, it seems, in that house except Abraham believed in God. When he was called, the Bible gives us a little more about this call. That part that you're about to read.
And he went out, not knowing whether he went.
You understand? The man don't know where he might go. You know, to leave your roots, your associates, your blood tie, to just pack up and leave, It's not an easy thing, especially when you have family type, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, mother, father, whatever. Just to pack up and leave. But wait, you're not leaving to go to a favorite aunt or uncle. No, you don't know where you're going. That's faith. But read on a little more.
By faith, he sojourned into the land.
You see, he moved. God told him to abandon his parents' home and go someplace. And Abraham wasn't there talking back to God. But me never know where me I go, God. No, he moved. What you are to notice is that faith always produces obedient action. Always, without exception. And it is so for the prospective convert as well as the Christian. For any Christian, for you to come week after week, you hear God's word. And it never motivates you to want to do more for Christ, for Christianity, and for the church. Then something is wrong with that faith. Don't let an angel come down from heaven to tell you that. Faith without works is dead. If your faith does not propel you to want to act, do something as obedient to the Almighty God, if it does not propel you to do that, then something is wrong with that faith. Read on a little more.
By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country.
Mm-hmm.
Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob,
mm-hmm.
the hearers with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city
mm-hmm.
which hath foundations.
Whose builder and maker was God.
Is God. Amen.
When the Almighty God tell him to leave, he had some assumption. First, he's going to leave his parents' home because God asked him to. But he had some assumptions. So he said, God must have directed me to another city with building that is built by God. That's what the Bible. He looked for a city with hard foundation whose builder and maker was God. One day, I must have a lesson just on those words. I need to wrap up. But brother, you are about weary now. What verse?
The end of verse 10.
Step me down to verse 17.
By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac.
Here again is a terrible test for any man or woman. You have one child, and the Almighty God testing you, ask you to offer that child on a sacrifice, a sacrificial altar. But Abraham went, he acted. Step down below 17. Just pick up any by faith that comes up after Abraham.
By faith Isaac blessed Jacob
mm-hmm.
and Esau concerning things to come.
Mm-hmm. But here again, Isaac their father blessed them, not of things that they saw. Hell, it was relative to things to come. Things that God promised, they acted on it. Give me one more.
By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph
mm-hmm.
and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff.
All of these, ladies and gentlemen, and there are more there in Hebrew. Note that in all the examples given, obedient action resulted from true faith, always. Faith is never simply a head thing. The Bible in the same book of James says, you believe that there's God? Says the devil, believe and tremble. What is the point? Don't be satisfied. Don't be complacent about, I believe in Jesus Christ. If that belief does not push you to act more on behalf of Christ, Christianity, the church, then that belief will not profit you. Because faith, if it does not produce work, obedient action, it is dead. That's why the Bible, Paul starts the book of Romans talking about the obedient of faith. That is the obedience which faith brings about. And he ends the book with it. The falsehood that faith only or faith alone save is a falsehood of ignorance. It is a falsehood of blindness. It is a falsehood of rejection of the gospel. Because faith alone saves no one. It cannot. It must have as its company the work of obedience. Look at these passages, quick. Acts 8, 35.
Then,
38.
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, he came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from to be baptized?
Mm-hmm.
And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart.
Brother, he preached what?
He preached unto him
Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came to a certain water. But what water doing in the passage? Because it says, he preached unto him Jesus. Amen. What you must learn here, you can't preach Jesus Christ and don't preach water baptism. Amen. Truly. All it says, he preached Jesus. But the other thing we hear about is water. Once you preach Jesus, you have to preach water. If you preach him properly, you have to preach water baptism. So when the prospective convert saw the water, what he said?
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?
You all get it? So when the preacher preached Jesus, he preached water and baptism. Read, brother.
And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.
That is, if you have faith with all your heart, you may be baptized.
And he answered and said,
I believe
that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Read.
And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water.
Wait. You notice that in Bible baptism, in true baptism, both have to go down into the water. In man's baptism, nobody need go down into the water. All they do, they get a little cup and sprinkle a little water on your head. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, that has nothing to do with your salvation. You will be in any man-made church for a million years if you do not go go down into the water to get baptized, if you are not buried in the water to get baptized, then being in that church will be of no help to you. They went down both into the water and
the eunuch, and he baptized him.
He baptized him. So here we have faith that produces obedience. If you believe, he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And man was baptized. That is Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 8 again and verse 12.
But when they believed Philip's preaching.
Watch here now. When they believe
Philip preaching. The things concerning the kingdom of God.
Uh-huh.
And the name of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
They were baptized.
When were they baptized?
When they believed.
When were they baptized?
When they believed.
When they believe. When men and women truly believe, what will they do?
They will obey.
They will get baptized. They will obey. It's right there. The brothers just read it in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 12. When they believe Philip preaching the things concerning Jesus Christ, they were baptized. When were they baptized? When they believe. Amen. Look at one more case. Acts chapter 16 and verse 27. These are just to demonstrate to you that genuine faith always produces obedient action. That's why the apostle could talk about the obedience of faith. Let us have that last passage. And 16, verse 27.
And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. And would have killed himself.
He would have killed himself because he thought all the prisoners for which he was responsible for them. He thought all of them had escaped. Amen. He drew his sword to kill himself. Read on.
But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. For we are all here."
May I just drop something here, ladies and gentlemen? When Jesus Christ is our focus, even we will surprise ourselves of what we can do for Christ. What I find here, this prison officer was at least one of the persons responsible for the beating, the cruel, barbaric beating that Paul and his company took. Now, when you see a man like that draw his sword or his gun to hurt himself, you'd sort of feel that it is God's hand working against him. But because Paul was so focused on the saving of soul, the value of a soul, he said, "Do thyself no harm." Not only that, Paul never gave up on any sinner. We must learn a lesson from this. Do thyself no harm. That same cruel man who beat him and his company became a child of God the same night. And you and I don't know how much that man might have come accomplished for Jesus Christ after that, having become a child of God. When we are focused on God, we don't go through a week in our secular job and forget Christ and forget our responsibility to give others a track, to invite them to church, to look for any opening so that I can introduce them to Christ. We don't forget that. You can't forget it if you're a true child of God. When we are sort of a little washy-washy Christian and lukewarm, we remember Christ probably only when Sunday come around. It ought not to be like that. Do thyself no harm, we are all here. Read, brother, quick.
Then he came for a light. Mm-hmm. Then he called for a light.
Mm-hmm.
And sprang in.
Mm-hmm.
And came trembling.
Uh-huh.
And fell down before Paul and Silas.
Uh-huh.
And brought them out.
Uh-huh.
And said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
What a great question. It's one of the greatest questions in all of human history. What must I do to be saved? The same man who probably a few hours ago roughed them up, beat them. But now, through the earthquake, God got his attention. Wait, the earthquake didn't convert him. A man need to be taught the word of God to be converted. The earthquake didn't convert him. All the earthquake did was to get his attention that there is a God. God got his attention, and Paul and his company taught him. But again, you see that he was baptized the same hour of the night. That was after 12 o'clock. Well, yes, preach. I would like to be baptized, but let me wait till tomorrow. Now, who tell you you'll be around tomorrow to get baptized? Who tell you that? Not only that, giving your life to Jesus Christ is an urgent matter. When Nicodemus was to meet Jesus Christ said, make haste and come down. When we come upon Jesus' truth and we feel we genuinely believe in him, we should make haste to run, to turn our lives over to him. So today we look on the subject, the obedience of faith. The obedience which faith produces, or the obedience which of necessity always come from true faith. When a man or a woman claim they believe but they remain disobedient in the eyes of God, they are lying and deceiving themselves. But you don't want to deceive yourself today. We're about to sing a song to the honor and glory of God's name. In order to become a Christian, the Almighty God has one plan for every man to become a Christian the same way. That's right. The Almighty God doesn't have a plan where you become a Christian this way at this church, and when you go to the one down the street, you become a Christian. No, God doesn't have a plan like that. God has one plan. And that is, every man must be taught the basic truth that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was the Son of God. He was sinless. He died, gave his life for your sin and my sin. You must believe that. As a result of believing that, you must repent of your sin. That is the ungodly, sinful way of life you have been living. You must make a decision to give it up. Sin is not your friend. It's your worst enemy. Jesus Christ wants to help you to deal with your sin. In fact, you cannot deal with it without him. So you must repent. Turn your back on your sin. You must be willing to confess Jesus' name. Put another way, you must not be ashamed to own Christ. And then you must be baptized so that the Almighty God can apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your sinful past. You can become a Christian now, if you truly believe. That belief will make you want to obey as we stand.
500.